Welcome to the Everything EV podcast with me, Richard Alvin. I'm really pleased to be joined today by Melanie Shufflebotham, COO from Zapmap.
Hi, Richard. Really nice to be here.
Melanie, for an EV owner that's living under a rock, could you just quickly describe what Zapmap actually is?
So they're basically, Zapmap is an app to help EV drivers when they're out and about find chargers, find available, reliable chargers, plan their routes and also pay for charging. So really, it's something to help EV drivers on their journeys.
I say for EV drivers living under a rock, because as an EV driver for 3+ years, I actually find your app pretty much indispensable.
That's always good to hear. Love to get some comfortable feedback.
Melanie, you've recently done a survey which has had just over 4,000 responses of EV drivers. Could you talk about some of the responses for that survey?
So Zapmap does a survey of EV drivers every year, asking sort of broad questions about how EV drivers use or how they charge and how they use the public network. And we've got the survey results over the last 5 years, so we can really see the trends on attitudes towards charging. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different aspects in there. A couple of things. One that I found particularly interesting is one is a topic that lots of people talk about is the number of people who are able to charge at home and versus those who don't have off-street parking. And I think the interesting thing we saw is actually the number isn't changing very much. So still 80% of people on our survey were able to charge at home with a charger on the side of their house and 20% not. And then this year, we actually then delved into those people who didn't have a charge point, and to see what, so that you're not charging at home on your own charge point, where are you charging? And I think what was quite illuminating was actually 30% of them are still charging at home using a 3-pin plug and sort of trailing a cable or something like that. And then the balance are using some kind of on-street charger, or they just don't have any close to home option.
Oh, right.
So that's one trend. And then when you look at those people who do have off-street parking and are able to charge at home, you find that 84% of all their charging happens at home, and only 16% of that on the public network.
Talking about the public network, your survey also covered reliability of various chargers. Is that still a key concern for people?
Yeah, the top of the survey finding is that EV drivers are satisfied, very satisfied with their EV overall. So 85% average satisfaction for EVs, and they wouldn't go back. Oh, it's about 1 or 2% said, yes, I want to go back. So over 95% of drivers were saying, yep, I love my EV. But then when you actually ask them about the public charging network, there is still a bit of concern. Top three issues: reliability, number of chargers, and then cost of charging. So looking at reliability, I think it to me, it's kind of a proxy for a whole load of issues that EV drivers find. So that's whether it's actually not in service, or whether when they get there, they find that they're not able to pay in a simple way. So I think it is a bit of a concern that's still quite top of mind for a lot of EV drivers. We also do, as part of the survey, we also ask people to rate all the different charge point networks for various categories. So reliability, value for money, ease of use, how they can pay, and customer support. And then we rank all the networks. We published this back in November. And what you find is there's some networks who are doing fabulously well. They're doing a great service and really very, people perceive them as very reliable. Our top three were Fastned, MFG, EV Power, and Osprey, but also Ionity and Instavolt, also performed really well. So to me, those are the really high performing networks. And then there's some, maybe the more legacy networks, which still have some challenges, but I know they're working hard. Everyone knows that this is an issue and are working hard on this.
I think whilst reliability issues are definitely reducing quite substantially, your app is definitely a huge tool to ensure that you don't end up going to a charging network or charging location that is having issues, because it clearly shows you, so people can plan their journeys accordingly. And it's really good that we have seen quite a good sea change in the last 12 months of charging infrastructure really being much better, more reliable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in terms of the growth of the infrastructure, 2023 was definitely a bumper year. 45% more chargers at the end of 2023 than there were at the end of 2022, and particularly high growth in the ultra rapid, so 100 kilowatt plus chargers to support longer journeys. That grew by. So there's, you know, the infrastructure is so different to what it was at the end of 2022, and beginning of 2024, it looks like it's going in the same way. Lots more chargers being installed. And on the reliability front, when we look at the data, because we can see all the charge sessions that come through on the networks, and when we look at the percentage which are out of service on those chargers which have been installed in the last couple of years, the reliability rate goes way up. So definitely the whole market is going in the right direction, no question.
And also ZapMap is far more than just an app. You've obviously got your data platforms, etc., for your three product areas. So the ZapMap app, ZapMap Spark, and then obviously ZapMap Insights. Do you want to just explain how those three things come together and provide the data?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ZapMap at its core, it's a data platform. We're pulling all this data in from the charge point operators, in terms of, you know, what the power rating is, the cost, the price. We pull all of that into our data platform. We then add extra information to that, so location type. We add in user data, so we can provide things like reliability ratings and extra information on the charge points. So then we have a really rich platform, which then we deliver out first and foremost to the app. So for EV drivers that we've spoken about, we also have ZapMap Spark, which is effectively using our data to power third-party platforms. So say someone, a company wants to keep their own brand, but they want to be able to show their drivers where the charge points are. So maybe a rental company or a fleet company, we can provide the ZapMap data into those third-party systems. And then thirdly, ZapMap Insights, which is all about using the data that we have, the profile data, location data, utilization data, and help companies to be thinking about their own electrification strategy, so that they understand what the market is, how it's developing, and how it might look in the future.
From your data, are there areas within the country that's actually better for charging networks than others?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think when you look at the high-powered networks, so the rapids and ultra-rapid, in fact, those have been the spread across the UK has really improved in the last few years. And you can see that there's actually, I think when we last looked at the data, there was at least 50 rapid or ultra-rapid charges in all of the different regions, which is, you know, been really good to see. When you look at the local level, it's much more patchy. So there, you definitely see that there are some local authorities who've been really engaged in the charge point rollout. And whether that's because they've had some Go Ultra Low funding in the past, or whether they've really engaged with the previous sort of on-street funding. But then there's definitely a whole load of authorities which don't really, just literally don't have any chargers at all, or very, very few chargers. I think that's the reason behind the Levi scheme, is that every single local authority, over 300 local authorities, will all get some funding. And you can see how much funding they've been allocated. So they've all got to create a plan, and whether that's a plan to spend all the money on the chargers, or whether they will be working with some of the charge point operators and who will then put in their own money to develop some of the charge point rollout. So I think this year it's all about getting those proposals into place. Hopefully by the end of this year, some of those charge points at a local level will be going into the ground. But I think 2025 is really where we'll see a huge increase at a local level.
Also, your app looks at the reliability of chargers. Are you seeing a huge increase in the reliability ahead of obviously the new PCPR regulations coming in November?
Yeah, because we have all the charging sessions and we record and analyse that from all the charge point operators, we can track that reliability, and we also use that data to push out information on the app, sort of live status availability. And we also have a sort of user rating, which helps EV drivers when they're out and about to sort of understand which chargers are more reliable than others, and also use the chats. So I think that, you know, that's the way that we at ZapMap are trying to help people understand where the reliable chargers are. In terms of the PCPR regulations, yes, I know talking to the charge point operators, they're very aware about this is coming, and they need to get to 99% reliability. And they all want to be at 99% reliability because that they know that that's good for the EV drivers. And a lot of the networks are already there or close there. I think where there's more of a challenge is on some of the legacy networks, which may have been rolled out 5-10 years ago and now aren't being maintained as well as they could be. But I think, you know, that's something again that the charge point operators are aware of, and I know that they're trying to sort of fix this. But yeah, let's hope it's going to be a focus, and we all know when there's some kind of target, it often creates some action. And you know, I think that will be a good thing for drivers.
Does your data actually look at the gender of EV owners as well? Are we seeing a larger influx of females actually buying EVs versus males?
Well, when we look at our survey data, we haven't seen the dial shifting much in terms of the profile of the EV drivers who are answering the questionnaire. This year, it was 12% female, 88% male, and that broadly the same types of percentages that we've had over the last few years. I mean, I think anecdotally, when you look on the road, you actually see a lot of EVs are driven by women. You know, we live in Bristol, and I'm always, me and my family always on the lookout for the green number plate, and often it is a woman driving. So I don't think it's that women aren't driving electric, but maybe they're not necessarily being the people who are actually buying electric cars. And there's been some good studies on this. Auto Trader did a really good study, No Driver Left Behind, which looked into the reasons around why women aren't buying electric vehicles. And as usual, it's never a simple answer. Never, this is the reason. But I think broadly buying cars, often it's not particularly set up for women. You know, women buying cars, there's an awful lot of mansplaining out there, which can be frustrating for women. And you know, I think that there's some women, for them, it's easy to carry on with what they know. A lot of women are very busy. They've got lots of stuff going on in their lives. And actually, they just don't necessarily want the hassle of having to think about charging as well. However, when women get electric cars, they're very satisfied, love the smooth drive, love it being automatic, love the fact they don't have to go to petrol stations anymore, don't have to get, you know, deal with all of that. And often, rarely having to charge on the public networks anyway. So I think there's also a number of organisations out there who are now very much focused on looking at the market from a more of a female lens, which I think is great. So people like Women Drives Electric or She's Electric, who are sort of communicating the messages more from the perspective of women. And you know, and I think that's great. And I know that, you know, clearly women are over 50% of the population, over 50% of car drivers. So they will be driving electric. And as far as I can see, they will absolutely love it when they get in an electric car.
Whilst the data clearly probably doesn't suggest this, but anecdotally, being a woman driving an EV, do you feel that there's still a bit of a legacy of concern over safety charging? Because, you know, in the old days, some of the legacy chargers were in the back of a car park or whatever else. Clearly, a huge number of the new chargers now are at the front of various locations, etc., etc., and in very well lit areas. But do you think there's still that sort of legacy of concern that actually an EV charger is the back of a car park of a hotel in an unlit corner or whatever else, which clearly is no longer really the case?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's a concern. I mean, no one really wants to go to a back of a car park and have an unlit charger and have no, you know, nothing to cover them in the rain. So I think what we'll find is as time goes on, the charging infrastructure will evolve and these types of things will just become commonplace. You know, they will be lit, they will be in good areas, but we as the industry have all got to push for that. So yeah, I think it's one of those things. There is definitely a perception that there are safety issues. But then, of course, there are safety. You know, if you go, you don't want to turn up to a car park and find yourself in the back end of a car park. And there still are chargers like that. I mean, what ZapMap try and do for this is provide as much information as possible. We've got our chat channel. We have our users adding photos and comments. And also, as you say, a lot of the hubs are now very much designed with this in mind, are well lit. If you go to motorway services, you actually find that the charge points are often right near the concourse rather than at the back of the area. So yeah, I mean, yes, I think it is a concern, and of course I support anything that makes sure that charge points are safe and well lit. But I think maybe sometimes it is it's not as big an issue. It's not the most important issue, I guess. I think it is an issue.
Does any of your data actually look at users of EVs with physical disabilities as well? Because that seems to be quite a big issue of people with physical disabilities, not necessarily in wheelchairs, but still with issues of mobility on their upper body, of actually, you know, pulling the cables in and charging and things like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, as the whole market moves, there's going to be more and more need for data to support different use cases. So whether that's more information on bay size and the ability to be able to actually access the chargers, or whether it's information needed for fleets who've got larger vans, can they fit in that charging point? Is there, you know, can they go under the canopy? As the market develops, I think there's going to be need for more and more data on that. And there is lots of good work going on in that space. There are the PAS standards which are being put into place, which then the charge point operators will need to then make sure that when they are installing charge points, they are thinking about accessibility needs. But in the meantime, you know, at ZapMap, we try and bring together as much data as we can so that individuals can look at a charge point and see whether it's accessible. But I think going forward, it needs to be captured and structured in a much more structured way, so that then there can be filters and you know, people can find the right charger that suits their needs. And of course, every charger really should be accessible.
Over the next couple of months, what changes are you going to be seeing at ZapMap?
We're always innovating on the app. We've recently rolled out a few new features. So now you can, with a single button on the map, just see immediately the ones which are available, so get rid of any which are charging, out of service, or ones where we don't have live status. We've also added new place card features so that there's much more information as soon as you click on a marker. We've also done recently just rolled out a new version of Apple CarPlay, which makes the whole in-car experience much easier. Going forward, we're continuing to improve different UX areas and adding new features. We're also taken our first steps internationally. So we've got markers now in France, Germany, Benelux, and we're going to continue to roll out across Europe.
Excellent. Talking about Europe, are you finding that, you know, Europe's actually slightly more ahead than the UK with regard to charging network already?
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be a pretty good network of rapid and ultra rapid chargers. I mean, there's, if you look on ZapMap, you can see them all, and there's that anecdotally as well, when you drive down auto route in Germany or France, there does seem to be an awful lot of chargers there and available. So yeah, it does look like a good pattern. So I think if you go, you know, people should be confident to go on holiday to France in their EV.
Excellent. I think on that very sunny note, thank you, Melanie, for your time, and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Richard. Great to talk to you.
I hope you found this episode of Everything EV Podcast interesting, and don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.